following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No, I don't think that. It's just minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Happy Wednesday, Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter, and our supreme being of all, producer Caleb Henry, with you on the Doug and Daddy Show today. Glad to have you along, but then you're gone for like the rest of the week? Or?
Yeah, I'll be back in on Monday.
Okay, well, gee, let me mark
that fits the definition, I think.
I thought when you're on probation, you don't get vacation. Probation, vacation, but you know. I guess, and remember, you're still on probation, so don't let that bother you.
Till further notice.
That's right.
Around 2017, somewhere around there.
I think I'm still on probation, you know. So glad to have you along with this. We've got College World Series, and I guess I'm jacked up because we get one more day of it. The Royals are playing on the West Coast, so once the College World Series game kind of gets towards the end, you can watch both of that. There's not a whole lot of other things going on right now. We just got through with a big rush, so I think it's neat. You got the NBA draft on tomorrow, so if you are into that, and I got a chance to co-host Hail Varsity yesterday with Chris Schmidt. We had George Sedano on from NBA, from ESPN. We've had him on our show before. He's a Miami, Florida U grad, and we talked with him last season about that with football, but he's really big on the NBA. He used to do some Heat games, so we talked about that yesterday, and of course you can check their podcast out. But today we've got a lot more on the College World Series. A couple of our friends that joined us earlier this month when we were kind of previewing everybody are going to be back. Adam Sparks of the Tennessean to talk Vanderbilt. Andrew Ramspacker of the Daily Progress to talk Virginia. We'll also talk with Nebraska Danger coach Mike Davis at the end of the program today. Their playoff run begins on Friday, and we'll talk about their matchup with Tri-Cities. We'll also have a chance for you to win tickets to the playoff game on Friday night with the Nebraska Danger. So that's all coming up on today's program. But yesterday, we had a chance to talk with Coach Jim Holton and a little hockey, which if we would have moved that to today, we would have had a couple of more things to talk about. Because
it's been an hour. I think an hour later you would have had it, because the USHL Board of Governors made, an interesting decision yesterday.
And they're kind of piggybacking on what the NHL is doing. And again, I don't talk, because it's not my background. Outside of the storm, we don't talk a ton of hockey. We have a little fun with it when the playoffs are going on. But NHL overtime periods could have more open ice this season. The league's general managers and the Players Association have agreed to change the regular season overtime period from 4-on-4 hockey to 3-on-3. And they'll have to approve that when they're meeting in Las Vegas, apparently the hockey capital of the world, later today. Now,
not a bad place to meet if you're going to meet. That's not all bad.
How much meeting is actually getting done? Let's face it. Now, getting back to what Randy was touching on and that we mentioned on the sports today, a couple of things coming out of the USHL. The Prospects All-Star Game is going to be in Omaha next year at the new Ralston Arena, the USHL-NHL Top Prospects Game, January 12th. So if you're a big hockey fan, put that on your calendar. It's a Tuesday. But the USHL, in conjunction with USA Hockey, has tweaked their rules. During the regular season, sudden death overtime will be 7 minutes. So it's not sudden death anymore. It's just overtime. It's like maybe the NFL, where somebody can score But wasn't it sudden death all the time?
It's always been sudden death. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it'll still be sudden death. What they're doing different is they're adding time to it because it used to only be 5 minutes. Now it's going to be seven. And they're going to have that element where you start it with 4-on-4, but the first whistle after you played 3 minutes, that first whistle after that, you're going to shut her down to 3-on-3.
Okay.
So that'll really open up ice. It's always been sudden death.
And that's the rule.
In the regular season. In the postseason, you play regular hockey in overtime. And it's still sudden death.
Yeah. So, but for regular hockey. Okay.
Yeah. 5-on-5.
And if the game is still tied following overtime, they'll go back to the shootout. It's going to be a three-player shootout, of course. If it's tied, you just keep doing it until somebody wins. Okay, here is what the director of the hockey operations, Adam Micheletti of the USHL, says. Working with the owners and general managers who make up the competition committee, we propose the new overtime rules because it's a more competitive format to decide the outcome of games. The NHL has utilized our league as a testing ground for the implementation of rule changes in the past, and I suspect they'll keep a close eye on how this format performs in the USHL. Now, they have previously tested this hybrid overtime period during the last two preseasons, and 39% of games were decided 4-on-4 overtime. Over the past two preseasons, 71% ended in the 3-on-3 overtime. So there are fewer shootouts. We've experimented with 3-on-3 over the past two preseasons, and after analyzing our results and the results from the AHL, we felt confident that the time was right to make the change. Playoff overtime rules will remain continuous 20-minute periods until the first team scores. So I get it all.
It's done in the USHL. It's not been decided yet for the NHL. And honestly, I'm surprised the NHL is moving to this without a year under their belt in the USHL. I really kind of thought when the USHL did that exactly as the commissioner said, they would wait a year, see how it works in the USHL, and then the NHL would implement it. They're kind of jumping the gun a little bit, but it's going to open up the ice. I mean, I really do think you're going to cut down a number of shootouts that you're going to have, which I like the shootouts, don't get me wrong, but it's a team game, and you're going to finish it in a team aspect, and it's going to be 3-on-3. And I think it's a brilliant thing for the players' union to agree to this because their biggest contention. Remember, it's a full contact physical sport, and you might play back to back nights, unlike football. You know, where you got a week to heal up. You might play the next day or 2 days later during the regular season. So the grind of doing it. Well, if you have fewer players out there, fewer players are going to get wore down by doing it this way. So I think moving to maybe a 3-on-3 makes a whole lot of sense from the players' union perspective. That might be why they're jumping the gun and doing it a little bit sooner than I thought that they would do. Because I thought they'd watch the USHL for a year, see how it works.
Is it still hockey?
Oh, yeah. It's a different kind of hockey. But it's more pond hockey is what it kind of is, because you just get the neighborhood kids together. You know what I mean? Yeah, but you still have the angles. You still have the passing. You know, you can still, that old hockey phrase, a tic-tac-toe, where they pass it around 2-3 times. You still have the opportunity to do that. It's a lot more hockey than it is a shootout. A shootout is a one-on-one individual kind of thing. It's not a team thing. Granted, your team looks different when you're 3-on-3 versus 5-on-5, but you're still going to have it decided by a team.
Isn't hockey, with this rule change, at the highest level, admitting that it's boring? That they don't score. Maybe boring's the wrong word. They are admitting that they don't score because they are now whittling it down to, I mean, you're taking 33% of your team off the ice to decide the game.
No, I don't think so. The first thing, when you're talking about that, what kind of comes to my mind is in high levels of softball, fast pitch softball, including, I believe, the Olympics, if it's tied, you go to the California rule where you start with a runner at second base. Well, we've changed the game. No, it's still the game.
That I can think of, do you take competitors off the playing surface, whether it's soccer, football, basketball. Is there another one? Because I don't think there is.
No, but every one of those sports that you mentioned has changed the rules to try to speed up scoring through the course of what they've done, and that's simply what hockey's doing here. They're doing something in a confined area to try to increase scoring.
Do you think, in fairness, because football has went the opposite way, with their overtime period, they have tried to make sure everybody gets an opportunity 7 minutes doesn't seem all that long to me. 5 minutes isn't all that long to me. At what point will they yank sudden death? Will they ever do that? I mean, let's face it. There could be a lot of excitement in that 7 minutes. You could have five goals scored.
You could.
The odds of that are a lot higher than five goals.
But again, I don't think the players union, what they want to do is they want to get done. I mean, hockey had to get away from ties because about one-third of all games ended up in a tie. And you have that wonderful opportunity for next big play wins this thing, and you kind of have that walk-off moment for one team or another when you have sudden death overtime. When they went to that, I think they've really increased the watchability and the excitement level and made it more American. You know, no one likes the tie. That isn't very American, you know what I mean? I don't know if that's the right phrase to use here, but it was unsatisfying. You'd go to a game and nobody won. That was somewhat unsatisfying. So they changed to this so they actually could have a winner when you walk off the ice when they're done for the night, and that made it a lot more exciting. People enjoyed it a lot more. They could wrap their mind around hockey a whole lot better. So they have to do something in which you're going to have a winner, you're going to have a loser. The players are going to be back at it again tomorrow night. They're going to play a game again tomorrow night. Not always, but from time to time. And they can't play another extra period. They can't play another 20 minutes and then let's have a shootout. They can't do that. So they have to find some way to infuse a little bit more offense in there, so they infuse a little bit more open ice, taking away the number of players. Now we're going from 4 to 3. It's different, but it's not radically different, because when they went to the overtime 15 years ago or whatever it was, the NHL got rid of the ties, they went from 5 to 4. Now they're just going from 5 down to 3.
So I disagree, because I think it is radically different. And now I'm not saying that it's bad. It is radically different.
I wouldn't disagree that it's radically different, but I still think it fits in with the scope of what hockey is. It's still going to be possess the puck. It's going to be passing. It's still going to have the same angles to the net. You know, it's still going to look like hockey. You know, headers still aren't going to count. You know, I mean, it's still going to look like hockey. Although I think header should count, because that one goal in the playoffs, that was freaking awesome.
So there you go. There's hockey aficionados and fans out there. Give us your thoughts on that, the College World Series. Anything you want to chat about, you can give us a buzz on the Kearney Chicken Coop fan line, 888-455-ESPN. You'll also need that for the Danger Ticket giveaway, 888-455-3776. You can always send us a tweet at ESPN 1460-1550, at ESPN 1460-1550. And you can email the Dent Popper in box, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. We'll take a break. Be right back. Talk College World Series.
The Gibbon Tractor Pull Association will be hosting the Outlaw Truck and Tractor Pullers and the Nebraska Truck and Tractor Pullers on July 4th and the Custer County Mud Draggers on July 5th. It's west of Gibbon at the Aurora Co-op facility. Gates open at 11, with the first pull starting at 1. Stay all day or come and go as you please. Concessions provided by JA Custom Cooking. Coolers and lawn chairs welcome. For more information, go to GibbonTractorPull.com.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Farming is your livelihood, and we understand that. After all, the companies of Farm Bureau Financial Services were originally founded to serve the unique insurance and financial services needs of farmers. Contact Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney and learn how they make it simple to help you select the coverage that's right for you today and provide options for the future of your growing operation. Call Rich Peters or Matt Myers in Kearney today. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
For today, partly sunny, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms early with a high near 91. Tonight, we'll have cloudy skies with a low near 66. Thursday, partly sunny, high of 80. And Thursday night, a chance of storms. Currently, it's 70.
It'll come from almost every state to find out who's best.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Game 3 of the finals of the College World Series tonight. Virginia and Vanderbilt 2 years in a row. When we look back at this 10 years down the road, I think we'll be able to maybe write a mini book about it, because it'll be interesting to have the same teams go the distance 2 years in a row. And going the distance for you is T&L Irrigation. Find out why so many growers are moving to T&L's hydrostatically powered pivot irrigation systems with superior reliability, low maintenance, and safety, plus the simplicity of their hydraulic design. They're just a few of the reasons that T&L is like no other and should be in your field. And add the newest component, the T&L GPS Navigation Corner System. Contact your local T&L dealer today, like Bill Shapley at Mid-States Irrigation in Kearney, Derek Wagner at Wagner Irrigation in Holdridge, and find out the very latest from T&L like no other. Well, we are giving a couple of our friends back to the Doug and Daddy Show and thank them for giving us some time. The suitcases have to be packed and ready to go because, let's face it, as Tom Chattel wrote in the World Herald, the College World Series, as fun as it is to watch, if you have to be there the whole time, it's pretty long. Andrew Ramsbacker, the Daily Progress, is with us. Andrew, did you get everything that you could possibly have wanted on your Omaha checklist checked off?
Well, yeah, this is the second straight year where I've lasted the duration here. And I can tell you, last year, you know, I was kicking myself because you're out here, you're so busy, you're writing, you know, 2-3 stories a day, you're doing interview hits, like, you know, radio interviews like this, and then you got to go cover a game and figuring out where to eat and stuff like that. You just forget to kind of, you know, maybe find a little bit of time to do some things that Omaha offers. So I did go to the zoo this year. I told myself if Virginia, you know, get to the championship series, I will go that Monday morning to the zoo. So I think that was the final after spending like 8% of my life here over the last 365 days. That was the final kind of check mark that I could cross off. And it was worth it. It was worth it. It was a really good time. So, I think I've done about it all. Well, I've done about all of it here in Omaha the last 2 years.
And you've kind of mentioned that you've been writing a lot of stories here this year. How many different ways do you package the idea that Virginia just is a team that refuses to die? I mean, they just find a way to grit stuff out. It's amazing.
Yeah, no, it's funny. I mean, you end up kind of, it's like you write stuff. And you're like, am I just rehashing this? You know, it's like, what are they doing? But, you know, for example, last night, it's a different type of chapter. It's a new angle. You know, of all the unlikeliness that this run has come with over the last month, who would have thought that they beat Vanderbilt, they shut him out with Adam Haseley, who had not pitched in over a month, on the mound, giving them 5 shutout innings, and Thomas Woodruff, a guy who is a senior walk-on, who hadn't started a game over a month, had never started a game in his career until this season, had basically just kind of been a pinch-running specialist. That's basically his role for his whole career here. Gets, you know, because Haseley has to pitch, they had to move Joe McCarthy to center field. This team is not very deep, so in comes Thomas Woodruff, the senior walk-on to play right. And what's he do? He goes 3-for-4, has a huge 2-run single. They're in the 6th inning, a 2-out 2-run single to extend that lead to 3-0. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I mean, this is kind of storybook type stuff that this team keeps going and keeps doing, I should say. It's been a fun ride. I mean, it's a grind certainly to cover it, but I mean, these guys just give you new angles every night.
Andrew Ramsbacker, the Daily Progress, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, looking at the Virginia angle after their 3-0 victory last night. It seems like Coach O'Connor in the postgame press conference last night is pretty confident about how things are setting for tonight. Why are they so settled on Game 3 when they weren't settled at all on Game 2?
Yeah, well, it's simple. It's pitching. I mean, I think when you looked at it, because Virginia lost that first game, that second game of its little mini 3-game series with Florida, and it forced that elimination game on Saturday, you knew that if they got the championship series, it was really going to test the staff because sure, you had Connor Jones ready for game one, but you had no idea what they're going to do for game two. And even after game one, whether he, you know, was hiding something or not, you know, even Brian O'Connor said, I don't know what we're going to do. You know, they didn't make that announcement officially until that, now maybe some games would shift there, but didn't make that announcement officially until about 3 hours before game time that it would be Adam Haseley starting. And even with that, you didn't know what to expect. I mean, sure, he had a pretty good record, but he's a freshman, you know, in front of 24,000 people, you know, making a start for the first time in a month against the defending national champions with a guy by the name of Dansby Swanson. You got to face him in the first inning, and, you know, the first pick of the draft. And the guy was just incredible. And that kind of bridges the gap now to the game three. Why do they feel more confident? Because now you know who you got coming out. It's Brandon Waddell. He's arguably the most clutch pitcher in Virginia baseball history. And, you know, he's made four starts now in Omaha. His ERA is under two. He's got two wins. He threw a complete game against Vandy last year in the World Series Finals. He shut out Florida, mighty Florida, in that lineup this year, over seven shutout innings. So that's why they have confidence in him. It'll be Brandon Waddell's final start of his career. What a fitting way for him to get the ball, chance to win a national championship.
College World Series is a little bit different than other national championship moments. I mean, again, the basketball, football, most people there are going to be neutral observers. They're not going to have a vested interest. Same thing true in Omaha. The difference is much of the Cinderella run has taken place in Omaha. The people of Omaha have seen Virginia do what Virginia has been able to do all year long. Do you really get the sense that Omaha has embraced them? Are they really the fan favorite? And does that play a role going into Game 3 tonight?
Yeah, I don't know how much of a role it plays. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, I think Vandy's experienced enough to get over any atmosphere at this point, whether, you know, teams are against or fans are against them or not. But, you know, to the other part of your question, I think in the four trips here that Virginia's made, it always has a little bit of an edge with the fan base just because of Brian O'Connor's background. You know, him being from there, people are familiar with his story. It's been played out so long, we get it. You know, his likeness is on the statue outside and all that. But, you know, this year I think even more so, because you guys mentioned, you know, obviously the connection that they've made with the Omaha Police Department, you know, and honoring the slain officer there. And, you know, I was talking to Ken Kanger for a story about that. And I mentioned, does this story even kind of enhance, you know, the likeness it makes Virginia more of a fan favorite around here. And he said, yeah, because Omaha likes those kind of stories. You know, they look for those kind of relationships, those kind of bonds that, you know, a team from outside forms with its own town. And I think because of that, it's added to it. Then you throw on top of it this Cinderella run that it's been on and how it's just, it never said die. I mean, last night was the first time in this whole NCAA tournament where their win wasn't a come-from-behind win, you know. Crazy as it sounds, and this had, you know, Vanderbilt had the tying run at home plate last night at bat with two outs in the ninth inning. That was the most comfortable win they've basically had in this entire postseason. So I think all of that combined, obviously with Ryan O'Connor's background, maybe being at the top, yeah, I think it does add a little something for this fan base, the neutral observers, at least in Omaha, to pull for the Cavaliers.
A couple more questions here for Andrew Ransbacher of the Daily Progress talking Virginia baseball. So, Coach O'Connor says that that Spores is not available tonight. Wink, wink. What do they do when it comes time to close this game if they've got the lead?
Yeah, I mean, when he says that, I think that's, you know, I believe him. I don't think that's any form of, you know, I just don't want to let Vandy know that he's not throwing. You know, forever in his 12 years there, and with Carl Kuhn, the pitching coach, their 12 years together on that Virginia staff, they are very protective of arms and knowing the future of their players. You know, this time next week, Josh Spores, or sometime in the next week or so, Josh Spores will be signing with the Dodgers. And I think the Dodgers have a plan to get him up pretty quickly in the ranks because of how talented he is and just his pitching style, what he can give you out of a bullpen. And, you know, he threw 77 pitches last night. He threw 54, I believe, on Saturday. So that's a lot. And so, you know, you won't see him tonight. Now, the alternative options, you know, we talk about this kind of this ride Virginia's been on. It's almost been a storybook. The final chapter that hasn't been written is a Nathan Kirby redemption. If you think about last year, he melted down in game one of the finals against Vandy in the third inning. All of a sudden, just I think he walked 7 of 8 batters, completely lost all control. And Virginia couldn't warm up a guy in the bullpen fast enough before it was 9-1. You know, Vandy was on top. It was just bizarre to see a guy that good just melt down. Grant Waddell will start tonight. Who knows how long he can give you. He went 87 pitches on Saturday. But the best option out of the pen just might be a Nathan Kirby. And if he's the guy recording the final out tonight, you know, to beat Vandy a year after melting down against him, that would be something. I guess other options would be Alec Bettinger, David Rosenberger, that, you know, I'm sure Ron O'Connor might have confidence in. Their track records aren't as good. They don't come with the reputation of a Nathan Kirby. But at the same time, you never know. But I think that would be it. You know, Waddell will give you maybe 5 or 6, and then I think it's Nathan Kirby time.
If that happens, Andrew, go ahead and start writing the script for the Disney movie.
I know.
I think they'll be calling and wanting to get that. How do you – I mean, that's kind of a – I don't want to say a fantasy world there. I mean, that is the one story that hasn't been written yet. But you are going to be writing a story tonight. What do you think that story is going to be? How do you see tonight's game?
You know what? At this stage, you know, everything is so unpredictable. You know, I was pretty firm on record. I think a lot of people were that if Virginia lost game one of this series, they weren't going to win this series because I thought that meant they were going to lose in game two. But I said if they could get to a game three, they'd have as good a shot as anybody because of Brandon Waddell on the hill. So, you know, I guess if you're asking for a prediction, I can't say Virginia's going to lose because, you know, I thought I could schedule a vacation for late June about 2 months ago and haven't been able to do that. So, you know, why not? You know, you got to say that UVA is going to win tonight because that's just the way it's been.
Andrew, last question. The emotion that it would be in the dog pile after going all the way, and again, going all the way for 2 weeks last year and coming up one run short. If that happens again tonight, I cannot imagine the devastation, even though they were a much bigger underdog this year. How would it be different if they go runner-up again this year?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, last year's team was, I mean, they had that target on their back from the get-go. Preseason number one, held that title for 9 weeks in the regular season, almost went wire to wire. That just doesn't happen in college baseball. It doesn't happen in college sports a lot. You know, preseason number one team, you know, usually don't finish as the national champion, let alone play in that national title game. And they did it. That team was loaded, 3 first-round picks. You know, everything was right for them. And, you know, 1 8th inning pitch from Nick Howard to John Norwood there was taken for a home run and lose that game 3-2. It took a lot out of them. Ryan O'Connor got choked up on a welcome home ceremony back in Charlottesville because he was that close. You never know when you're going to get back again. Well, here they are again. It's a different type of story. It's an absolutely different type of team, not with all these expectations like last year's team did. But if they lose, I think it still stings the same. Because, you know, maybe it's softened a little bit because one of those, we weren't supposed to be here anyway. But when you get that close, you know, you want to take it because, again, you never know when you're going to get back here again. So, you know, a win or lose is a great season, but I'm sure for those guys, and especially Brian O'Connor and that coaching staff, and for the returning players, you know, they want to finish the deal this time.
Well, and not only has Kirby missed some of the season, when we had Joe McCarthy on a couple of weeks ago, he'd missed the first half of the season, and he hits a home run in the first game, of course, after appearing on the Doug and Daddy show. So I expect we might see something out of him, and Towns is such a fun player to watch as well. Andrew, let's get you home, and let's see if we can do it with a national championship. Thanks for the time on the Doug and Daddy show.
Hey, no problem. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Take care. From the Daily Progress, Andrew Ramsbacker here on ESPN Radio.
Who's to say they're not going to do it? You know, I mean, I think it's going to end up being a very tight game. I mean, duh. I mean, you know, every game they played has been pretty tight. But again, the biggest blowout Virginia's had in the entire tournament is when the tying run was coming up to bat in the bottom of the ninth inning. Well, I guess it's been the top of the ninth inning last night.
Actually, yesterday was their biggest margin of victory.
That's what I'm saying.
World Series.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And,
2-1-1
and,
one, and then 3.
This team very much reminds me of the team that North Carolina State had in basketball back in 83 or whatever it was. They needed to win the ACC tournament to even get an invitation into the big dance. It was the same exact same thing here for Virginia, except they needed to win the last series of the regular season in the ACC to get into the ACC tournament. They were the bottom seed in the ACC tournament, and here they are.
We'll take a break and look at the Tennesseans, Adam Sparks from the Vanderbilt side, plus Mike Davis of the Nebraska Danger, all coming up.
Super Shine Auto Care. We clean the out of your car. It's our 30th anniversary. We've brought back our unlimited wash. For $19.95 a month, you can keep your car super clean with our soft cloth auto wash. We hand scrub the bugs and hand dry your vehicle for that finished touch. Not only that, but you can use our vacuums for free when you wash your vehicle. Also try our auto detailing and Mobile One Lube Express. Look for us online at supershineautocare.com.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Hey!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
At John Deere, we know you wouldn't buy a car without taking it for a spin. And it's, well, just a car. So you'll definitely want to get behind the wheel and test drive the brand new John Deere S240 Sport, equipped with a powerful V-twin engine and heavy-duty hydrostatic transmission. Available exclusively at your local John Deere dealer.
Find your full line of John Deere products at Oregon Trail Equipment, with locations in Hastings, Fairfield, Hebron, Red Cloud, Superior, and Marysville, Kansas.
Hey Nebraska, it's Jeff from Big O Tires, here to help you save big on your next set of tires. Through July 3rd, when you buy three tires, you get the fourth free. Save 25% on high-quality passenger, performance, SUV, and light truck tires from Cooper, Nitto, and more. That's up to $200 on a set. So come by one of our three Tri-City area stores and save a real 25% on your next set of tires when you buy three and get the fourth free, only at Big O Tires, the team you trust.
Now's the time to start training for the Nebraska Senior Games. Seniors ages 50 and up will have the chance to test their skills in a variety of different sports and activities, including track and field, golf, basketball, bowling, swimming, tennis, and many more. This year's games will be held August 6th through the 9th in Kearney. For registration and more information, go to NebraskaSeniorGames.com. Registrations are due July 17th. The 2015 Nebraska Senior Games, where competition never gets old. Get in the games at NebraskaSeniorGames.com.
Ready or not, Omaha, Nebraska.
Ready or not, Omaha, Nebraska.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. College World Series, unless there's a rainout, which is not predicted, will end tonight in Omaha. And you can watch it at the Kearney Chicken Coop Bar and Grill, the best of both worlds. A lot of places say they're a sports bar and grill, but no one combines the best of both like the Kearney Chicken Coop. One of the reasons, they're flame-broiled buffalo wings cooked over an open flame with their homemade sauce of your choice seared onto the wing. Of course, if it's not wing day, pizza, burgers, salads, quesadillas, steaks, so many good things at the Kearney Chicken Coop. And if you are looking for a convenient party room, they've got that for you as well. Family reunion, a little summer get together, a birthday party, anniversary, they can take care of that for you as well. It's Kearney Chicken Coop Bar and Grill, downtown Kearney. Well, we welcome back from the Tennessean, Adam Sparks, to talk about the Vanderbilt side of things, as we just talked the Virginia side of things. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter, and Adam, welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show. We asked Mr. Ramsbacker the same thing. Have you got all of your Omaha duties, everything you could possibly want to do? Is it checked off your list?
If ballpark and hotel and a Runza, that's three things, then yeah, I've hit all those.
So what you know about
Zesto? No Zesto?
Oh, well, I think so.
you said the R word. Please don't say the R word anymore.
No?
That rain.
Oh, yeah. How about that Runza? We talked about that last time. How did it go for you?
It was good. It was what I thought it was. Something between Philly cheesesteak and I don't know about five of the sandwiches I've had, but none quite like that. I think I may order a few to take home with me.
I find it, no matter where you're from, we grew up on something like that, and we find it unique. Is there something like that in Tennessee that isn't offered very many other places?
No, I mean, you know, the thing in Tennessee is barbecue. But then you go everywhere else, and barbecue is completely different. I've covered a whole lot of stuff in Texas, different barbecue. Out here in Omaha, different barbecue. You go to the Carolinas, completely different barbecue. So it's called the same thing, but it's not the same thing. We're 100% pork. And I know I've seen some pork out here, but it's not quite the same thing.
Adam, here in Nebraska, we kind of understand just how much people get behind the Huskers and that sort of thing. Different scenario there for Vanderbilt, because they got professional teams with, you know, the Titans and the Predators and obviously the University of Tennessee. But is there a real appreciation for what has happened here in the last 10, 15 years with Vanderbilt baseball? Does it have kind of a groundswell of supporters, or it's still kind of that cute little thing that they only pay attention to for about 2 weeks a year?
Now, I think Vanderbilt baseball is kind of different from a lot of other other entities there, because Tim Corbin, the coach, is so beloved in the area that fans that follow other teams that don't follow Vanderbilt like Vanderbilt baseball because they like Tim Corbin. People follow Vanderbilt baseball because Dansby Swanson and Carson Fulmer and those type of guys. There's it seems like just about everybody you talk to, especially the Middle Tennessee area, but almost overall in the state, all of them kind of root for Vanderbilt once they get to a certain point, especially when they get to Omaha. And so that's different for Vandy's basketball team, the football team, the Tennessee people never root for Vandy, obviously, in that scenario. But it's more of a Middle Tennessee statewide thing. It's hard to find people that really dislike Vanderbilt baseball. It's almost its own thing just because of Tim Corbin and a lot of the likability of the team.
We're talking with Adam Sparks of the Tennessean about Vanderbilt trying to repeat as national champions. Adam, this is the first loss of the entire postseason, the NCAA tournament, loss in the SEC, but of the NCAA tournament. How does that change the mood or the confidence of this team?
Well, I mean, it's obviously it's going to shake it up a little bit, mostly because of where it's come. I thought it was, and I made this comment to Tim Corbin after the press conference last night. I said, it looks like, to me, you're trying to be overtly positive. And, you know, and he said, well, this is just, you know, this is just kind of how I think I need to be. But it seemed like the page was turned as quickly as possible with that one. In the late innings, immediately after the game, and he said that was kind of the feeling around the dugout, is they had to kind of wash this out completely, because the momentum went completely Virginia's way in the series. They have Brandon Waddell going to the mound. He's the guy that won a complete game last year and shut down Vandy, and so they're going to feel good about their arm that they've got trotted out there. They've got the, you know, that they've obviously given Vanderbilt the first blemish in the NCAA tournament, and it just kind of seems to have turned. And so I think Vanderbilt has to hit reset. They have to kind of forget all that happened last night and all that happened before that, and come out and try to put some runs on Waddell early on, and not wait till late in the game as they have a lot of this tournament. And so I think it was just kind of a reset, kind of a reboot, and make sure to focus all the guys to know that it's one game. Nothing that's happened before, good or bad, matters to this one game, and they just need to have their best game.
Adam, the first two games of the series, nobody scored in the first five, six innings. And yeah, in fact, last night, Vanderbilt, as we all know, was shut out. So they've only scored in a couple of innings so far against Virginia here in the series. If they wait three, four innings, is that doubt now going to start creeping in here for the Commodores?
It could. I mean, the doubt is going to come later with this team than it would most, I think, because they've just kind of found ways to win. I mean, it was a no-hitter going against TCU until Xander Wheel hit a solo shot in the seventh and a walk-off homer against Cal State Fullerton. That game looked like it was done. Vandy could have easily gone home after two games, and they just kind of found a way to win. Most of this team is played in last year's game where, you know, they had to have a home run in the eighth inning to beat Virginia in game three in the final game. And so the doubt will come later with this team more than any. But, yeah, I mean, you have to look at what's gone on here so far. They've played five games in Omaha. In four of those, they didn't score till the sixth inning or later. And obviously last night they didn't score. And so the doubt will come, I think, not only for it's taking them so long to score, but also with Waddell on the mound. They know that he had a lot of success against him last year, and they know Virginia's not going to sit forever. I mean, last night they showed they can do the same thing. They've had a lot of comebacks in this tournament and all through the NCAA tournament, and they know that's a tough team across the way there, but Vandy just has to get a run. They don't have to have an explosion early in the game. They just have to get a run across the plate in the first three or four innings, and I think it completely changes the dynamic of that team if they can do that.
I kind of thought after Virginia didn't get on the board in the first two innings last night, and not a lot has been talked about that because of the way the game finished out yesterday. So let's fast forward to tonight's starting pitcher. Tell the fans a little bit about Walker and what they're going to do there.
Well, first off, I'll say that it was a little odd last night that Tim Corbin would not completely commit to Walker Buehler. You know, he kind of danced around that a little bit. And, you know, the obvious thing was, well, of course he's pitching, right? He's a first-round draft pick. He was picked by the Dodgers a couple weeks ago. He would be the number one pitcher on 95% of the teams in the country if he wasn't on this team. Really good right-hander, very controlled. Pitched really, really well in his first game here in Omaha. And he's the type of guy you would want to bring out for a third game like this when a lot of other teams would have run out of good pitchers. But it was a little odd last night. I mean, you know, John Kilichowski is a guy that could also end up out there. It would be quite a shock to this tournament if Walker Buehler is not on the mound in the first inning. But for whatever reason, Tim Corbin kind of didn't want to say for certain that Buehler would be his guy. He's got, what, 3 days rest? So he's rested enough to come out and pitch, but I tend to think maybe there's a little bit of a mind game there. Is he ready? I don't know if he's ready. We'll see if he's ready, and maybe a little bit of a public challenge to Buehler. I may be reaching on that, but I thought that was a little odd that he wouldn't just come out and say, we absolutely know who our starting pitcher is going to be tomorrow night.
There's so much discussion this season in college baseball in terms of the increased amount of offense. Obviously, Vanderbilt, you know, up and down the lineup, a very solid hitting team, but not a lot of runs, obviously, here in the finals or really kind of through the course of the tournament. I look at this and I wonder, are they due? Are we going to have a game with the pitching matchup? Because obviously both teams throwing a pretty good pitcher out there. Do you think we're going to play small ball tonight, or is Vanderbilt going to do what Vanderbilt does?
Well, I mean, in this park, obviously, some teams are almost forced to play small ball, even if they don't want to. You know, what's interesting is last year, Vanderbilt had seven of the nine guys in their lineup tonight were in the lineup for this exact same game last year, and they won with small ball. Last year, Vanderbilt hit 22 home runs in the entire season. That's the fewest in program history. Their worst power-hitting team in the history of the program won their national championship. So these players can do that if they choose to go in that route, and they may try to do that tonight. But they've got so many home run hitters in this bunch, especially in kind of that middle of the order, that they're going to have to get some of that at some point. I don't think they have to come out and hit three or four home runs tonight like Florida did earlier in the tournament, but they've got to get something just to kind of put their stamp on this to say, this is what got us here, and we can still do it at this level. And I think that would maybe put more of the doubt back on Virginia, maybe feel like they've kind of awakened the giant, so to speak, the team that could hit so many home runs. But they're going to have to get it in some way. I don't think it matters if it's small ball or long ball or what, but they've got to have Rhett Wiseman and Dansby Swanson and Xander Wheel and that middle of the order hit well. Swanson's hitting, I think, under 200 in the tournament right now. He's got some big hits for him, but he's got to give them more. And just the middle of that order's got to get up there and put the ball in play.
So is the stitch marking off Wiseman's neck yet?
You know, last night the joke was, because he struck out a couple times last night. They said, well, he's not good until he takes a 90-mile-per-hour fastball off the side of the neck there. So I don't think they're going to do that tonight, but whatever would wake him up, I think they'd take it.
Well, we'll wrap it up with this. Adam Sparks, the Tennessean, again, thank you so much for your time. And you kind of hit half of the question there for me. You told me what you thought Vanderbilt needed to do to win the ball game. You're sitting there in the press box tonight, and Virginia does what to concern you? You're going, uh-oh, we're in trouble.
If Virginia gets through the first, I'd say, four innings, and Vandy doesn't have something close to the warning track, I think Vanderbilt could be in trouble. They need to score early, obviously, but they need to put the ball deep into the outfield to try to get to Waddell a little bit. And they need to make Waddell work a little bit, too. He's going on a short rest, so they need longer at-bats. They need to put the ball in play more, and they just need to show something that they're close to breaking through. That's what they did in game one. It took a while, but you kind of felt like it was going to come. They have to get some type of offense early on. If they get to about the fourth inning and there are no runs on the board and there's not a threat of a run, they could be in trouble.
Now, you've been at a motel for 2 weeks and you still want to plan vacation. Can you plan a motel-less vacation? What are you going to do?
Yeah, I've got 2 weeks I've got to cram in July immediately before and immediately after the SEC media day. So we'll figure that out. I've been away from my daughter now for the better part of, 2 weeks, so I would assume when I get home, we'll go precisely where she wants to go and what she wants to do. It will not be Omaha, though, I promise.
Hey, no offense taken, by the way. No offense taken.
Well, great plan, Adam. It's great talking to you. Thanks for giving us time here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio, and enjoy your time off.
All right, guys. Cool. Y'all have a good day.
Thanks. Adam Sparks of the Tennessean here on ESPN. Of course, we
need to interview more Southerners. I just love the accent. I do. I'm sorry.
You find more female reporters with the accent. That's what we need here. Again, pregame tonight, 6:40, first pitch, 7:05. We've also got American Legion Baseball. It's Wednesday. That's the big night. A lot of the teams played last night. It's Kearney versus Grand Island. The Kearney Little Caesars and 5 points will go to Grand Island to take on USAVE and Dinsdale. And then at Memorial Field, Grand Island 5 points and Home Federal will take on Kearney Post 52 and Runta. And it is Fan Appreciation Night tonight. Free admission to the game for everyone. Door prizes, grand prizes, burgers and hot dogs, homemade ice cream for only $1. The juniors game at 5:30, the seniors at 8. So come on out. It's one of the best rivalries around when it comes to any sport. But Legion Baseball, these two programs are, again, playing really good ball. Kearney and Grand Island tonight. Hastings, they're going to play a little afternoon ball today. Cheyenne, Wyoming.
A bit of a trip back.
Like the Las Vegas Aces. They went to Omaha. Now they're making their way back, and they're going to play at 3 o'clock this afternoon. And then the regularly scheduled doubleheader with Lexington. The seniors will play first at 5:30, then the juniors at 8. You can hear the senior games on 12:30 a.m. KHAS. Pregame at 2:45. Let's take a look at our Midtown Mart cooler question, and then Mike Davis on the other side of the break talk Danger football. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you about Pete Rose. If the new information that ESPN was reporting that he did bet on baseball as a player, does that change your stance on his reinstatement? 60% says it does not change their stance, and he deserves to be in the Hall. 27% say it just confirms what they thought all along, and 13% says it changes, and I no longer trust him. Today we vote. You're a baseball guy. Your thought?
I'm a Pete Rose guy. I mean, I'll
Big Red Machine. You're still
a Cincinnati fan. I mean, just full complete disclosure here. Pete Rose is my favorite player growing up, and yeah, he betrayed our trust. And what we should do is maybe, I don't know, ban him for a quarter century or so. Wait, we've done that. So I mean, he's been punished. I just think doing it as to the level that we've done it now goes far beyond what he did to the game. The game can handle Pete Rose being in the Hall of Fame. It can. It can handle it. His stuff is in there. The bat he used to get his 4,162nd hit is in the Hall of Fame. I mean, he's in there except with his plaque. And put on the plaque, he bet on baseball and got his butt kicked out for 25 years. I can live with that because that's part of his legacy, too. But he deserves to be on the Hall of Fame. I don't think it'll ever happen, but come on. I mean, all those hits, everything he did as a player are legit. And I'll tell you what, if Pete Rose isn't in the Hall of Fame and he let in suspected steroid users in, I just don't know how you can wrap your mind around that. That makes no sense to me.
Our poll question today, Midtown Mark Cooley question, who goes first in the NBA draft tomorrow night? Are you on Carl Anthony Towns of Kentucky, or you have one of the other top five selections? Vote now. Who will go first in the NBA draft at ESPNSuperstation.com? As we go to break, want to give away some tickets to Friday night's Nebraska Danger playoff game with the Tri-Cities Fever out of Washington. Kickoff set for 7 o'clock. I've got a couple of family four-packs that I want to give away, and all you have to do is be a Danger fan. Call now, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Caleb will get them to you, and we'll be back to talk to the coach in a few.
Anderson Brothers can rewire your entire house or just add a handy outlet. We can fix an annoying drip or install a whole new kitchen and bath. We can change your furnace filter or convert your entire home to geothermal heat. After all, our name says it all. Anderson Brothers Electric, Plumbing, and Heating. Turn to the experts at Anderson Brothers. Neighbors serving your neighborhood for over 65 years.
Assisted living. Is it about help with the daily needs of living? Or about getting more out of life? Is it about the services offered? Or the spirit in which help is given? At Good Samaritan Society Hastings Village, the difference is in a philosophy that everyone deserves to feel loved and valued. In fact, it's a lot more than assisted living. It's a little help from your friends. For more information on assisted living, give us a call at Good Samaritan Society Hastings Village or find us on the web at good-sam.com.
I called Kearney Crete & Block for all my landscaping bricks and paver.
We called Kearney Crete & Block when we decided to do an outdoor kitchen, fire pit, and patio. You should be calling Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
A national champion will be crowned tonight in Omaha as the College World Series concludes. Game 3 between Virginia and Vanderbilt. Pre-game at 6:40. First pitch 7:05. The College World Series Championship tonight on ESPN Radio. Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, Midway Chevrolet Buick GMC Cadillac, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Time to go get something, ain't it?
Yeah. You hear that music, you just want to go hit somebody, you know?
I could run down. No, it doesn't make me want to hit anybody. It makes me want to run.
I feel like playing football, you know? I feel like lighting somebody up, you know? It does. It feels like football music.
I'll just run down there. But you don't have to do that. And on a warm day like today, you can check it out on your iPad, your computer, at thinkmidway.com. Right now, Midway Chrysler, stop in to see them and see their full lineup of the Chrysler 200s getting up to 36 highway miles per gallon with a first-in-segment 9-speed automatic transmission. Gas prices are going up. Must be summer. But you can take care of that problem a little bit with a Chrysler 200 from your Midway Auto Dealership, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. If you're looking for a used vehicle, don't forget Killian Motors, now the Midway Auto Outlet, also on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Our winners today, Jason from Hartwell and Philip from Miller. Hey, There you go.
Yeah, went a couple different directions there. That's nice.
Hartwell and Miller, they are going to Friday night's Nebraska Danger game as the playoffs are here. And head coach Mike Davis is back with us. Coach, good morning. How are things in Dangerland?
Things are good. Excited for Friday.
he always keeps it real simple for me early on, doesn't he? Coach, a bye week before the playoffs, I assume, are a little different than a bye week during the regular season. Could you explain how that is?
Well, it allowed us to get healthy for one. You know, in the regular season, you can't set anybody or anything like that, especially when you're trying to get ready for a game. Here, we were allowed to. You know, we practiced for a couple of days and let the guys get off for a couple of days and get out of town and get home and back rejuvenated, ready to go.
Coach, obviously the last game of the year, you kind of had everything wrapped up. You had the home field advantage wrapped up. Rest a few players with that. Did you kind of approach that game as saying we don't really have to worry too much about the wins or losses there? Or is it problematic for you to come into the tournament with a losing streak in your back pocket?
No, we actually rested five starters. You know, Jameel was a backup. He didn't play at all. Darius Savage, we rested him as our tackle, rested Adrian Davis, and two of our corners. So, you know, it was a chance for us to get, you know, Breon Carson some time to see if, you know, if we wanted to bring him back possibly, you know, to battle for a position next year, and a couple young receivers. So it was good for us. You know, obviously we always want to win. We probably should have won, but young guys just didn't make enough plays, and we weren't really worried about it. We were focused on Tri-Cities anyway.
So what did you see and that you might be able to utilize Friday night?
You know, we had some – you know, out of the 10 guys we brought in the last couple weeks, you know, we have some youth and we have some speed. So it was something that was encouraging, especially going forward into the playoffs.
A little unusual, a team in your division, but you only played them once, and that was back in April, and you guys lost on the road. Talk a little. Have you looked at that film, or has your team changed enough that you're not really feeling like you get a lot of value from that?
I mean, of course we looked at it. Just, you know, we wanted to see how they tried to attack us on both sides of the ball. But, you know, our team has changed so much that, you know, it's a different battle when it comes to Friday.
Mike Davis, head coach of the Nebraska Danger, joining us. How different is their team?
You know, obviously, when we were down there, when we played them up there, they had a four-year veteran quarterback in Houston Littlewood. You know, two games after that, he broke his leg, and they've had four other quarterbacks since then. So they have a rookie that's played, I think, three games. Now this will be his fourth game. Big, tall, left-handed kid, and he's good. He's a gunslinger. Not as mobile as their old quarterback, but he knows where to put the ball and how to get it to him in the right spots.
The more recent game film is going to show you a little bit more of kind of who they are, what they're doing. What do you see in them that, I don't want to say worries you, but what worries you? What do they do so well?
You know, they don't give up a ton of big plays. You know, they're very, you know, stingy on defense. You know, they've been taking care of the ball on offense, and their special teams have been fantastic. So, you know, they have a couple different weapons. You've got to be careful as you attack them.
We're talking with Mike Davis, head football coach of the Nebraska Danger. Again, Friday night they will host the Tri-Cities Fever. Can you give us a little of the game plan? Is running the ball going to be more key than throwing the ball, or is that too tight to the vest to let us know?
How about hopefully we score more points than that. That's about as good a game plan as I can give you.
You brought in a different kicker through all of this, too. And considering the way the playoffs have went for you the last handful of years, that's going to be important. Are you okay there?
Yeah, you know, we actually had Cody Thornton for a couple games, and then the CFL team, Saskatchewan, signed him and took him to training camp. He didn't end up making the team. So, of course, he called me. We had been keeping in touch. And, you know, when he thought he might get released, I had enough time to bring him back. And he definitely solidifies that position that we've had problems with in the past.
Been a while since you guys have been on the field. This has been that game that you kind of had circled even before you played your last regular season game. How is everything timing up? I mean, is it getting tired of looking at each other? You want to hit somebody different now?
Yeah, I mean, guys, it's been nice. It's been very good in practice, kind of chippy, just, you know, that playoff atmosphere. And guys are just ready to get it over with and, you know, get things rolling on Friday.
Mike, is there anybody that won't be able to go for you?
No, as of right now, we're healthy. Well, unless something crazy happens the last 5 minutes of practice here, then we won't, you know. we're good.
Let's get the win on Friday, and then it's another couple of weeks before you play again. So one game there in about a month span, if you make the championship game, is that the way you would like it?
I mean, it allows you to kind of sell out everything on Friday, and if you get banged up, it gives you basically 2 weeks to get healthy, or 2 weeks before you have to play again, you know, rather than having to turn around and play again the following week. You know, guys, obviously in playoff football, everybody gets banged up every now and then, and especially with Jamil, the way he plays, you know, with leaving everything out on the field. You know, he's going to try to will these guys to a win on offense anyway. So it allows us just to kind of get a little healthier than what we would have been if we had just had a week.
Jamil, being from the University of Virginia, is he having a College World Series watch party tonight? Are we invited?
No, I don't even think he knew they were in the College World Series.
Sounds like a football player getting ready for the playoffs.
Exactly.
Mike, last question, because if everything advances on, we'll have plenty of time to talk about Sioux Falls over 2 weeks. But this team is a lot different than the beginning of the year, and that always happens. But we talked about they wanted to get this one last chance. A lot of these guys are going for it, through it for the third time. A couple of those key pieces had to be dismissed from the team midway through the season. Besides Jamil, how many of those guys are able to kind of say, this is what we've got, and try and pass that on to the guys that haven't been here?
You know, you take Pig, you take Adrian Davis, you know, Darius Savage, you know, Jamar Love, Marcus Barnett. You really take those handful of guys. And that's kind of been the message. Like, hey, this is what we came back for. This is what we wanted. We got an opportunity to do it. Let's take advantage of it.
It's Friday night. We've got more chances tomorrow to give away some danger tickets. So let's fill the stands once again and get back to the championship game for the third straight year. Coach Mike Davis, we'll let you get back to practice. Thanks for the time, buddy.
Thank you. See you Friday.
See
you. Good luck.
Mike Davis with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. It's a little different this year. I mean, the Danger's 10-4. Tri-Cities is 8-6. On the other side, Sioux Falls is 14-0, and they're just thumping everybody. And Cedar Rapids is 9-5. So the home teams are even a little bit more prohibitive a favorite this weekend. And then Sioux Falls would once again be probably a bigger favorite than they were the last 2 years over the Nebraska Danger, just because of the personnel changes. And you got to go up there. But this
and 14-0. I mean, come on.
This whole season, Randy, is about one thing. Last year, it was about getting another shot at Sioux Falls, and the way that didn't happen was kind of heartbreaking. This year, it's just this is the end of the road. There's only one game that mattered. You have to get there, but there's only one game that mattered, and it's not what they're thinking Friday, so they've got to make sure that they think about that this week and then get 2 weeks to get to the champion.
I think they've had plenty of time to focus on, all right, that is the goal, but this is in our way. And to reach that, if we don't take care of business on Friday, then we're not going to be able to take care of business 2 weeks from Friday. So I think the long gap does allow them the opportunity to really be focused very, very tightly on what they need to take care of against Tri-Cities on Friday.
All right, a couple of things, and then we'll wrap up the Doug and Daddy Show. Again, a unique event for the wrestling fans out there, and I've got a volleyball story, and let's see, I've got a track story before we get out of here. So first, on the wrestling, the Maine Exchange, we've talked about it. It's the year that the Maine wrestlers come to Nebraska, so there's about four different stops where they see four different groups. The Maine group is always the same, and then every other year Nebraska takes a group out and does the same thing in Maine. Tomorrow night they will wrestle at Adams Central High School. It's going to be a cool thing. They're going to put the mat out on the football field. They're going to wrestle at sundown. So unique, it doesn't matter. Wrestlers have not done that, at least these kids. And so they're going to do that tomorrow. Today, they're making their move from Fairbury to Hastings. They're going to be at the firing range, shooting range this morning. Then they're going to be doing some fun things. They're going to Chautauqua Park this afternoon. They're going to get the chance to eat some runzas as well. A lot of free plugs here for them today. And then tomorrow, they've got paintball over at Amherst, some of the things that the all-star kids from Nebraska were doing. They're going to go to the Archway and a whole lot more. And then tomorrow night, the main exchange duel will be at Adams Central at around 9 o'clock. So pretty cool. Adams Central's team has kids from Adams Central, Sutton, Ord, Hastings High, Gibbon, Centura, Grand Island Northwest, among others. Tickets for the annual Nebraska Volleyball Red-White Scrimmage are now on sale. You can get your first look at the squad Saturday, August 22nd. Intra-squad scrimmage at the Devaney Center, 7 p.m. Go to 800-8-BIG-RED or Huskers.com for more information. There's also a new scoreboard hanging in the middle, it sounds like, here at the Devaney Center. So they've upgraded that a little bit. UNK senior Dylan Schrode has been named to the Capital One Academic All-American track and field slash cross-country team for the second straight year. He makes the first team this year. He was a second-team selection last year. He is just the eighth Loper to make this team multiple times in a career. Only one of 36 UNK student-athletes named to the squad in all sports since 1970, and he is going to be the grad assistant at UNK the upcoming season, so congratulations there. Back to baseball. Cute, funny, whatever you want to see, and at least they made the right call on the field. But explain to me, Randy Bushcutter, why the Chicago Cub fan holding the young 7-month-old kid in his hand who made a fun one-handed catch was not ejected from that baseball game like every other fan that interferes with baseball has been.
I think the only thing about that is the fact that the player had to reach over the tarp, and it was very likely to think that that was actually in the stand. I mean, that's right on the line, but technically, probably should have been tossed out.
The umpires called him out.
And they called fan interference, and I think they got that right. And generally, with fan interference, comes an immediate ejection of whoever had that. I'm just glad this guy's not really a department. That's all I'm saying.
So if you guys want to interfere with the game, make sure you're holding
bring
your
a cute kid with you.
Young child. Sorry.
Well, again, I'm not a big fan of them ejecting the fans when, unless it's very obvious that you have fan interference, I don't think it's ejectable. They do it, but I don't think it's ejectable. So I'm okay with them not being ejected from the game, but generally, if you call fan interference, they're ejected. By generally, every time I've seen it, except for last night.
For our tennis fans out there, the Wimbledon seeds have come out. Rafael Nadal is the 10th seed.
Who?
What? What? He could be playing on one leg and be a better seed.
Well,
than
he
that.
Is. He kind of is.
Are you kidding me? We went through the NSAA. It became official yesterday about this time, accepting the resignation of Rhonda Blanchford Green. National Coach of the Year comes from Nebraska, Millard South's Doug Denson. Also happened to be in wrestling. We had two or three that were up for that as well. So I think that brings us to the end of our business here on the Doug and Daddy Show for this Wednesday. We want to thank our folks from Omaha at the College World Series, Andrew Ramsbacker, the Daily Progress, to talk Virginia, Adam Sparks of the Tennessean, to talk Vanderbilt, to Nebraska Danger coach Mike Davis for joining us on the program today. Tomorrow, I don't know, we'll have a College World Series champion. I think we're going to have a little fun with that. We'll talk a little bit more about what's coming up, but it's kind of quiet here now over the next week. Somebody asked me yesterday about all the All-Star games. I said, well, we're kind of quiet heading into the fourth. The All-Star games, for the most part, are done until the Coaches Association at the end of July. A lot of camps are going on again.
Yeah, a lot of 7-on-7s, and whatever your respective sport is, there's a camp out there somewhere for it, that's for sure.
So don't forget, College World Series, Virginia Vanderbilt pregame at 6:40, first pitch at 7:05 tonight. Have a good one, Randy.
All right, take care.
Folks, we'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.